So the talk is really about our trust and our practice when everything seems to be going to pieces around us. And it really, we've heard here that in time of crisis, of violence, of war, of conflict, it's not clear where we find relief. Where do we find our refuge here? Where is it? And we often, our need is immediate. I need now, I need to feel better. I need to find out what to do. I need to feel less confused and less lost. And our needs are immediate. But at the same time, we're all having lots of questions. And the questions are there in the long term and they stay with us. The question of, for example, what's my relationship to violence? And what's my relationship to non-violence? E-alimut. And how much violence can I allow and say it's legitimate, and how much violence is not a legit? Where is my line? And these are questions that stay with us. And we often feel, and this is really important, that we practice mindfulness and it doesn't do the job. It just isn't enough. And so many people have come to me also and say, look, I'm sitting every day. First of all, I can't really sit. I feel so agitated, isheket, I can't really sit like I used to. 6 months ago, I could sit quietly, peacefully. Now I can't, it's impossible. And others say, well, I practice a lot, but it doesn't help. And then we find ourselves with a longing, kmeha, a longing for some big picture, which we don't quite grasp, that will give us relief. And then we have our small picture, me with my fears. And how are the two fitting together? The big picture that I know is there, the Dharma, the talk about Endor, the peace and little corner of the world, I feel really fine. And then what do I do with my fears and my concerns and my pain about what's going on around? So we have many of these questions, and it leads us sometimes to doubt the Dharma. And that people have said, look, Dharma doesn't work for me. Because I feel all these things, and I practice meditation, doesn't really help, and it creates doubt. But then others say exactly the opposite, that the only thing that helps me right now is the Dharma, because it gives me a wise heart to be able to look fresh at what's going on with a bigger eyes and a bigger soul, to look more clearly at what's going on around. So others are saying, Dafka, the Dharma is what. And some of you have said that here this evening. So one place that I want to talk about is the place of trust. Trust and faith. And faith imun. Trust and faith. And in the Pali, sadha. It's a very good example in my mind of something that can be built through mindfulness practice, that we can build trust and faith through the practice, but it's not in a minimal practice. If we think that mindful awareness, it's about just sitting and being a little calmer and having connection with our breath and body, which is really fine and really helpful, but it's not enough. And trust is a place that the, if you like, mindfulness applied to life is where we begin to live the teaching. One of the places we will meet is trust. And like the Buddha said, be an island, stand on your ground, find your independence, atzmaut, autonomia, stand in your place, strong and clear, and from there meet the world. And how do you do that? Yes, meeting your breath, your body, your mind, your heart, your soul, meeting the full person, and seeing it as truth. This is what I can rely on, the truth. The truth of my experience is the place I can rely on. And from there I get trust, because I'm meeting truth instead of concepts, fantasies, dreams, narratives, stories in the mind, etc., etc. Truth is, so it's mindfulness, but it's taking us further. So what is trust? What is the traditional concept of trust? Firstly, it's a power. It's one of the five powers. I wrote a book on the five powers, but trust is a power. It's not belief. It's not something that we have to kind of dream up as a concept. It's an actual faculty, a cholit, inside the person. The person knows to trust. We all trust our mother's milk. We all do have huge amount of trust. We couldn't get up in the morning without it. It's a power that we need to live. It's already in us. And as we develop it, things happen in our life. We very often, the image, there's two images in the tradition that are very nice. One is the image of the banyan tree, the great big Indian tree, which is can cover dunam of land, because it has many roots that go down. And it's seen as a tree in which everybody can come and shelter under and have shade. So a person with trust is a person that others come to for shelter. It's a very nice image. If we, as teachers, would like to invite others to come and have support, like being a tree that gives shade, trust is a place that does that. And the reason, one of the main things about trust is that it is overcoming its opposite. Afuch. The opposite of trust is fear, daga, helplessness, confusion, doubt about ourselves, no confidence, all those feelings of disempowerment, no power. Trust is the opposite. Trust brings confidence. Trust brings clarity. The other image of trust is a jewel. It's a traditional image in the Pali text, a jewel that you put into muddy water, and it makes the water crystal clear. A jewel, a yahalom, that you put into the muddy water, and it makes the water crystal clear. It clarifies things. And trust is not the same exactly as Kabbalah, as acceptance. It's beyond acceptance. Tara Brach wrote the book called Radical Acceptance, Kabbalah Radicali, because it's not just I have to accept. It's not that pressure. I need to accept injustice. No, wait a minute. No, not like that. Trust isn't that kind of acceptance. Trust is saying, I don't agree with Itzedek, but I'm ready to look at it, to call it by its true name, by look at it in the eyes, by standing and seeing that's the name of the game. Kachazeh. Now I'm ready to go out and do things in life. It's readiness to meet. So if we don't have that readiness to meet life, then we're always running away, hiding, anxious, doubt, etc., confusion, all those reactions that we don't, that we can't meet it. So it's meeting life as it is, calling it by its true name in Thich Nhat Hanh's language. It's that, that's trust. Even if it's difficult, even if it's extremely difficult, but I'm ready, I stand and look at it. Eye level, the Gova in eye. And the reason is that it's a basic truth. The world is as it is. Hard to accept it, but that's the name of the game. The world is as it is. And the reason is it cannot be other than that. We want it to be other than that. We want it to be different. But the world is as it is. Never mind what we want. And that's not so easy, but if we go there, it's somewhere similar to the understanding of karma. It's close there, but it's also a deep understanding of the Dharma, which says that the situation that we experience right now is created by conditions. And the conditions that create this situation and experience right now are all kinds of conditions. And we can't fix that. Samsara is not fixable. We can't undo samsara. Because I want to, or you want to. We can't undo samsara. It's there from the beginning of time. I was listening to this theater group the other day that was performing Chad Gadya, and the Chad Gadya children's poem. But actually, when they performed it, I suddenly realized, wow, that's just such a good image of samsara. It's everything is killing everything else. Everything is beating everything else. Completely. It's like one after another is beating the next one, beating down the next one. Well, but yes, it is samsara, and it's been there since the beginning of time. And once we're born in a body, that's going to be our experience. We're going to experience that. Thankfully, we're going to experience lots of other things as well. But we can't avoid it. And that's why trust is saying, the world is as it is. Now I'm ready to go out and make a difference. That's trust. And sometimes we need to mourn. The litabel. Sometimes we need work with grief and sadness. Because born in a body and experiencing that, we might need a process to actually be able to see, well, that's the name of the game. Maybe we aren't. We need to work towards that. So mindfulness is beautiful to do that, but maybe other work is needed. like work with grief and work with mourning. And compassion. Compassion is a natural response to the world being as it is and beyond our choice and beyond our wishes, our preference, our needs. So compassion is a response to that. The world is beyond what we want it to be. We want it to be different, but then so does everyone else want it to be different. So we're all in the same boat. And compassion is natural. Again, it's a fruit of mindfulness, but it's not in mindfulness itself unless you pay attention. Compassion is there in mindfulness, but you have to encourage it. You have to give it its power. It's there inside, but you need to develop it. The trust goes also to faith. Faith is where we trust our spiritual journey. So faith is where take refuge in the Dharma. It's trusting the Dharma. We may not know what the Dharma is. It changes for us all the time, but we trust the journey, that there's something bigger than us. It's like faith is listening to the call, kriya, the call of something bigger than us. That we don't, in our little mind, we may not be able to work out what it is and have a thought about it and it's like that or like that, but it's listening to the call that is calling us and saying, have faith. And it's where the big difference between the Dharma doesn't work for me in times of war, or the Dharma is the only thing that works for me in times of war. The difference is there. Something is bigger than me is helping me to go through this. It's a deeper wisdom. It's often invisible. Ukinira. It's often not describable. It's often not explainable. Some of you have also said how not easy to find language. No, it's not easy to find language. And sometimes we really don't know what it is, but something universal. We have faith that there's something universal, something behind, beyond me, into being, the interrelation of everything. And it helps us to understand that maybe the path is wiser than we are. That's faith. And faith can also help us to experience things which we cannot imagine. We cannot think about experiences beyond thought. We cannot think our way to liberation. But we can, the faith and the trust in bigger voices and the calling that we're listening to, we're being called, that will take us there. And our poor mind catches up later with thought and concepts. It follows sometime behind. we're called, and then the mind afterwards says, oh yeah, I think I understand. But of course it doesn't really. So here, and maybe there's a place, like all of us, we're offering something, we're speaking something about our truth. And maybe in the middle of this circle, we put our pieces into an invisible place, which is a place where we can say, surrender. I don't know the whole story. I let go. Humility, anava. Let go. We don't have the answers, but there's something bigger behind everything that's going on. So I want to give some specific examples. We've got a few minutes of how this works. The first thing is that we absolutely need a bigger view of Dharma than mindfulness will give us. Mindfulness, super important, but by no means the whole story. And it's changes, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow. It changes the way we look at reality. And it's important in times of violence, in times of conflict, for example, giving us the courage to be in the shoes of the other. What is it like to be in the shoes? B'toch ha'na'alayim shel acher, especially if ha'acher is defined as enemy, oyev. What is to be in their shoes, for example? Mindfulness can take us to those places beyond our wall of protection. Mindfulness can bring us to places that really deeply understand causes and conditions. For example, can help us to understand what seeds is Israel are being sown now, and what seeds can I sow to make causes and conditions of more peace, more health, more positive, something different. What are the seeds that I can sow? Mindfulness can take us to places like that, but it needs the wisdom. Trust will really help us with ethical questions. It helps us to see things more deeply, to have binata lev, the wisdom of the heart, instead of reactivity to guvatiyut. Mindfulness will grow wisdom slowly, steadily. We will grow wisdom, a way of looking at the world more deeply, more carefully, looking through things. The trust with developing mindfulness and to bring trust is also really important in our communication. So we communicate all the time. And trust, how do we speak to create listening in others? How do we speak to others? How do we listen to others? How do we communicate without reactivity to guvatiyut? How do we speak to others when they don't listen, or when they argue with us, or when they have totally different views? How can we be helpful with our language? So there is places that we need trust for that. We need a deeper wisdom. And a final example of where this will take us is to understand that mindfulness is not a technique, but is a way of life. We live it. We don't just practice it. And for example, it helps us to feel feelings directly and know when the feelings turn into narratives or story. So for example, we feel fear, but then we build a story about somebody or something or some group or some possibility that might happen, and we build stories and we build, and then that inflames the fear, and then we're lost in cycle of feeling and story and concept. And mindfulness can help us undo that, and then we live differently. And we have to see that how we live differently, and the way we live differently will be with less fear, with more trust, with more relationship, even in difficult situations. And as the Buddha said, it's a final word, we need to see the way that mindfulness creates our independence, to create our atzmaut, our sense of autonomy, that we stand on the ground. And this is a fruit of mindfulness, as the Buddha said, stand on the ground, on your ground, steady, ready to meet difficulty. And as I say, mindfulness, when it is developed as a power, bringing trust, bringing the truth of things, bringing a sense of here I am, I'm born in a body, I don't know why, it just happened. I arrived in this body, in this world, here I am, I'm steady, and I'm going to stand my ground, and I will not be knocked over. Why? Because I see the truth of this moment, I trust it, that's it. Here I am, that's it. And it's kind of a deep knowing that guides our life, and it's beyond technique, it's about a way of life. And we trust our deeper truths. And our deeper truths bring us trust. And we trust them. Okay, thank you.